Welcome to the Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We are broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is October 24, 2019. Saints, the world is in turmoil. Most do not realize it, but we are in that time of the end. And that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. Please make this choice for Yeshua tonight. If you need help after the program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, leave your name, your number, prayer request, and or message. The phone number, of course, 620-878-4682. And an emergency, you can even have my cell phone number, which is 316-649-4886. But because of all the robocalls, please text me first. Now, you can always find updates of the breaking news, Wichita Mission Church, radio program archives, contact information, all this at our ministry hub, which is very simply prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. Now remember, we are a national satellite radio program, which is simulcast live on the net internationally. It's live on YouTube. It's on some FM stations, so pray about supporting airtime. And hey, on another note, let's thank our listener base that is worldwide in places like St. Petersburg, Russia, Bujan Stadium, South Korea, Dublin, Ireland, Beijing, China, and of course, cities in the good old United States, such as Houston, Texas, Tulsa, Oklahoma, Fresno, California, New York, New York. And this week, Wichita, Kansas is the largest group of listeners to our radio programs, at least when they podcast later tonight. Also, follow us and share us at Twitter. That's Pastor Dan Catlin at Brent77. Now, prayer will bring on tonight's guest. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, I pray. Father, I pray radio tonight goes according to your will, not our will, Father. And please give everyone out there ears in which to hear and understand the truth. So please, Father Yahweh, bless this program tonight and your son, Yeshua HaMashiach's mighty name. Amen and amen. Well, folks, we just got back from this week from one of the biggest Feast of Tabernacle meetings in the United States. It was fabulous. This one started in 1997 and did nothing but groan and got better and better. It's hosted by the Lion and Lamb Ministries, founded by Monte Judah in 1995, if I have that date correct. We are honored tonight, though, by having Monte Judah on with us to tell us about how all this started and why it is so important to this time of the end. Well, welcome, Monte. Are you there with me?
I am, brother. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you just fine. He has us tuned in, and so it's really an honor to have you on. I was so overwhelmed by how different this tabernacle meeting was than any of the others that we had been to. So from my wife and I, we really, first off, we just want to thank you for allowing us to attend this year.
Well, that's very kind of you to say. I appreciate that. Great. We worked hard to try to make as good a camp as we can for all the people that come.
Yes, amen. Well, you know, a lot of people don't know you. So for the people, you know, who is Monte Judah? How did you get into this, to Messianic Ministries?
Well, I'll give you a short testimony. I was way back in the early 80s, I was a good Baptist. In fact, I was a Baptist licensed minister. And as I began to do more detailed study, I suddenly discovered that the Bible had a lot of things to say that as a Baptist we weren't doing. And as I began to ask questions about that, why I was kind of set aside by my Baptist brethren, but I prayed very intently, God, send me somebody I can speak with that can answer some of my questions. Well, I was introduced to a man there in the Denver, Colorado area. His name was Eliezer Urbach. And Eliezer was a Messianic Jew who had survived the Holocaust, lost his family in the Holocaust, fought in the War of Independence in Israel, became a believer of all things, believed in Yeshua the Messiah, came to New York to hook up with another Messianic believer that was operating the American Board of Missions to Jews, and he was dispatched to Denver, Colorado to win the North American continent, and which later, that ministry later became Chosen People Ministries. And to show you the influence of Eliezer, he's responsible for the discipleship of many men who are leaders in the Messianic movement. In fact, he helped Moshe Rosen, who started Jews for Jesus. He goes way back. And as a result of meeting him, he was able to confirm a number of things for me, and I began to teach the Torah and learn more about Messianic theology. And it wasn't very shortly after that where I got the left foot of fellowship out of the Baptist and got hooked up with other men, and we started building Messianic congregations. That was back in the 80s. And I had a very successful aerospace career going on at that time. And as I rose in the ranks, I kept teaching the Torah. And eventually, the Lord said that he wanted me to do something different. I knew I was going to go in the ministry one day. I just didn't know how. But back in 95, the message came, and early 96, we started Lion Land Ministries. Cashed in my 401k, all my bonds, sold my stocks, exercised my options, and started the ministry with a wife, two kids, and one computer. That's what I always tell everybody. And got Lion Land Ministries going from there.
Well, amen. It's been a real blessing. And, you know, I remember those times. When I came out of the world 30 years ago, we didn't have any other kind of fellowship. And, you know, it wasn't that we started off being Messianic, so to speak. Our story was simply that, you know, we read the Word, and coming out of the world, we thought that we should go to, you know, naturally go to church. You know, we became saved.
Right.
But I couldn't find anything that lined up with the Word. You know what I'm saying? Back to you.
Yeah, I agree. I understand.
It was
a case of, do you follow what the Lord has said, or do you do what the majority of men are doing?
Yeah,
and I made the choice to follow what the Lord said.
Yeah. Yeah, amen. It is dynamite. And I know a lot of stories are similar, but I'll never forget, though, and then we'll move on with Lion and Lamb, but I remember finally after about 10 years in that there was a small congregation started in Wichita that was run by a Messianic Jew, and somebody said, hey, Pastor Dan, you need to go over and check it out because they believe like you, right? So we went over there, my family and I, and I immediately told my wife, we need to get out of here because they get the blessing over the Sabbath candle, right? And I said, man, they're casting a spell. We better leave. And because I didn't know what, I'd never been exposed to it. So when they held they did the blessing over the children, and they held a Israeli flag with, you know, the star over it, over the children.
Right.
I said, man, these guys are really getting creepy. I don't know if we need to come back. But I talked with the pastor, Richard, and he is a Messianic Jew, and you know, he helped me a lot. But believe me, my first experience was to run, you know. Anyway.
Good.
But so Lion of Lamb has grown. You know, you're not just it's not just a little tiny operation there, brother. You have worldwide influence and everything. Tell us more about Lion and Lamb.
Well, Lion of Lamb, we call it Lion of Lamb Ministries because we do a variety of things besides me doing teachings, Messianic teachings. I also publish a Yabo magazine, written articles that go out each month. We have the broadcast for the B'nai Shalom congregation, the online internet congregation, and we do the Torah portions on Friday nights. I do topical teachings throughout the week, and those are broadcast on the internet, and plus people can get the actual videos and downloads on those. We also run a national Messianic youth camp. We've been doing that for a bunch of years. And we have kids from all over the country that come here to Oklahoma, and they go through an intensive 5-day Messianic camp. And we've been doing it long enough now that people who have come to our events, we've watched them as kids grow up, they get married, they start having kids, and then they come back and become staff, at some of our events. And that's always exciting to see how they've grown and matured and remained faithful, and now they're helping us with other folks as well.
Yeah, amen. That was one of the things that I saw about Tabernacles, and I really want to go into that in just a little bit, but was that the girl got proposed to on stage, didn't she, last week?
We have all the life cycle events take place. It's like a community of faith, and we've had multiple proposals, and we've had marriages out there, and all kinds of just the normal community life cycle services are taking place out there.
Yeah, amen. And, you know, my wife was so impressed. In fact, you know, we were on radio with another fellow on a program called the Omega Man Radio Program, and we spent the hour last night talking about Tabernacles and then the program, we do a program earlier before you and I are talking now, and we talked about it. One of the biggest things that impressed her so much was, she said there was, what, over 1,000 people, something like that there, but there was no drama, you know, and everybody was happy with each other. In fact, what was really impressing, a couple of times, because we wasn't totally prepared, you know, we hadn't been there before, we had had to go into Chandler, and we had went to a couple of different stores, and we wore a button in there, right? And
right.
The people were so nice, but they called us, they'd say, my wife said they called us, well, you folks, you come every year, and you're all so joyous, and you're all such a blessing, and they bragged on the people from Tabernacles. You know, they were happy to see us. That was different. Back here.
Yeah, that's different. That's different from other places. Well, I think that has to do with our history out there. That was our 23rd year of conducting that. And we've always had a very excellent relationship with the city management, with the police and fire department out there, because we add to their community. You know, by holding the event out there, they see a bump in all of the merchants, see a bump in business, and even the city manager says that he gets a bump in his tax revenues, and it kind of it suddenly grows that community very quickly in a very positive way at no expense to them. So it's always been an excellent relationship, a win-win for both of us. And we've gotten the blessing of using their park, and they've gotten the blessing of having us around, you know, during that time frame. You know, the Lord really set that up for us. I mean, I'm serious about this. I think I shared with you the testimony how the Lord had prepared the ground when we first went out there. Like, we were the fulfillment of a word that had been given to the city leaders that, quote, my chosen people will come and worship me in this place. And when we walked in there as Messianics, oh my gosh, there was a huge shock. We were exactly what they had been told was going to happen. And that set the stage for a wonderful relationship with them. As far as all of our brethren coming from all over the country, all you have to do is take people out of their normal setting and put them in a safe and secure area, and it's amazing how everybody gets nice. So, I think that a lot of our brethren feel insecure and they don't feel safe where they're at. They become agitated. But if we can get them in an atmosphere of worshiping the Lord, and that's the focus, and all those other fears go away, and they're just here having fun, it's amazing how we can all get along and love each other.
Oh, amen. I'll share a couple. As an outsider, you know, now while I knew several people there, you know, such as Joe and a couple of people. You know, we came in there, you know, being, you know, outsiders, so to speak. But it was so easy with the atmosphere to fit in. You'd walk around campsites and people would say hello to you and they'd invite you in their campsites and or into their campfires, you know, and sit down and listen to the music or the spontaneous praise and worship that was going on. Especially there was a fantastic one going on one of the nights. I think it was on a Thursday night that happened in the teaching tent. I walked by there, and there was just a couple of people praising and worshiping. And then I walked back by, and about 10 minutes later, and there was like four or five. It ended up being about 15 people on stage, even this little girl, about probably 7 or 8, with a little guitar, and jumping up and down, and they were all praising and worshiping together. But I got the feeling it was such a great representation of Yeshua's people coming together without invitation, all to do one thing. Praise and worship Yeshua. Back to you.
Well, part of the design of our camp is to have activities throughout the day for all the different age groups, adult teaching, children's program, you know, teen program, singles program, all of those. We have that. But we also try to bring our evening program to a conclusion a little bit quicker than we used to do. So we can allow people to go to campfires and have all kinds of campfire fellowship. And, you know, that's the kind of fellowship that was in the camp in the Exodus, was campfire fellowship. And so we kind of set it up to allow the folks to have that, and then each one can show hospitality to one another. They can be spontaneous in their worship. And since we're all commanded to rejoice before the Lord, why, it just plays out perfectly. And you're absolutely right. There's probably in the camp probably 5 or 6 big campfire areas all over the camp where people congregate and fellowship with one another. Everybody's welcome at any of them.
Yeah, absolutely. Another thing I want to focus on, well, we got about 3 or 4 minutes for a break, but is I love the security, especially in this day and age, and what we will need at some point, because I want you to bring in about the camp in the wilderness, but the point that it was secure and there was people watching over us and, you know, address your security. It was really wonderful. Can you address that a little bit?
Well, I appreciate you saying that because we worked very hard on that. You know, we have some excellent brethren that come to us that have that expertise. They're law enforcement or former law enforcement. They're civil servants. And they come, and we've done a lot of analysis on what we have to do to keep our camp secure, written a security manual. Honest to goodness, we have. And the guys that come and take on that responsibility, they're carrying out literally a written policy on how to keep this camp safe. And the fact that we are situated where we're at, we have a choke point, you know, there at the gate, at the southern gate, right, that allows us to keep the camp pretty secure from all outside things. It's a peninsula that sticks out into the lake. And we've got certain key professional people that are helping us, you know, make sure everything's safe. And then we've upgraded it with new technology and equipment. And, you know, to do exactly that, we want all the people to be safe inside amongst one another, as well as anybody coming in from the outside.
Yeah, absolutely. That in itself, you know, made it much more enjoyable and comfortable, you know. Just felt safe and secure. And, you know, I just had to concentrate on fellowshipping and praising Yeshua. You know, it was really a wonderful experience. And everybody
it's so
got a
secure
kid.
There.
Go ahead.
It's so secure there. Parents sometimes will let the kids roam the whole camp. And we have to remind the parents, hey, guys, you still got to keep an eye on your kids. I know the camp made the camp safe, but keep an eye on your own kids and kind of keep them in your area so we don't have a problem. We don't lose a kid. And
yeah.
Any time the parent says, I can't find my kid, well, we've got emergency procedures to sweep the camp and find the kid. And so forth. So,
yeah.
You know, that's the trade-off when you have good security and you have get everybody to participate with you.
Yeah, I when I was doing I guess I was being shuttle service, I had a woman that came running up to me and said, tell the security that real quick that we found the child, the fine child. They needed to stop, you know, looking for him. And I went up and talked to one of the security guys or whatever, and he said, well, that was quick, you know. He was found real quickly. But, yeah, there was a lot. There were so many children there. It was wonderful to see them playing together and, you know, just everything seemed
good. Well, that's what we want. You know, if a child suddenly is not where the parent wants them, why, that's a high priority. We're going to stop all operations, and the whole team is going to look for that child.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's safe. And, you know, we got about a minute for a break, but let me say this. I like the fact that, like, my son, Elijah, he came with us. He's 18 years old. And he participated in, you know, he did a 12 to 4 shift on shuttle and security, and then he did driving around. And it was really wonderful for him. But, you know, I like the participation thing. Everybody in the camp participated, and that's another real big factor.
Well, they, you know, what they put into it is what they get out of it. If they're just there as a spectator and going to sit around, it's not going to be as much fun or enjoyment if they're active in what's going on and join the bigger group of what's happening. They have a great sense of that they've contributed to the process, and it's what you put into it is what you get out of it. And so energy put in, they get energized back.
Absolutely. Well, we're going to be going to a break. So how can they find Lion and Lamb online? Just Lion and Lamb,
well,
Google it?
Lion and Lamb Ministries is online. I've got a couple of addresses. I'll give you one here. Lion Lamb Ministries, that's all one word, LionLamb.net. We have some other things for it, but if you go there, it'll get you to the right place. That's the main, shall we say, front door into the ministries, and we have a whole series of, depending on what your interest is, there's a whole series of other sites that you can go to.
Yeah, amen. We'll talk about some of the things that are over there and some other things when we get back. We'll be back in about 4 minutes, folks.
All right.
Pastor Dan will be right back.
open my blind eyes that I might see. But many don't know you, they just know your name. Well, I must go tell them the reason you came. Oh, and you gave your life on that old rugged cross. You shed your blood just for me. You could have called all the armies of heaven, but you chose to set the captive free. You are my savior. You are my savior.
As God said, in the Garden of Eden, the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Careful consideration of the following events gives us great insight as to the tactics used by Satan in an attempt to devour the servants of God. The serpent questioned Eve, hath God said ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Eve, after reconfirming the fact that God had commanded that certain fruit not be eaten and that disobedience would result in death, was told by the serpent that disobedience would not result in death. Ye shall not surely die. Truly there is nothing new under the sun. Satan knows that the commandments of God are sure and that they stand fast forever and ever. Yet he continues to persuade men to question those commandments. Hath God said, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy? Yes, God did say that, and Satan knows that non-observance of the Sabbath day constitutes sin. He knows that the wages of sin is death, yet in an attempt to destroy man, he still persuades, ye shall not surely die. Each individual must choose whom they will serve. Those who believe the lies of Satan become the servants of sin. Those who believe God, the servants of righteousness. I'm Richard Reeves with Just the Facts. For more information, contact Partakers Publications, Post Office Box 23031, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28227, or visit our website at www.toolong.com.
Folks, we're back. This is Pastor Dan Catlin. You're listening to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. We are talking with Monty Judah today about his ministry and about the Feast of Tabernacles. We'll get right back to that in just a minute. Just let me give you a little more tidbit. You know, we need you to support us because we care for the people that the Father sends us, men, women, and children from all walks of life who've had a bad break. At the Mission Church, It's like a home church with a building. We don't get any help from any organized churches or government agencies. It's only folks like you that supported us now that we're in our 20th year that we stay open. We minister to people in a part of town that people don't even like to drive through. But isn't that where the body of Messiah should be, is among the sinners as Yeshua was and among the poor? We are the last hope for so many. And folks, we're all responsible to care one for another as we are our brother's keepers. All donations, no matter what size, helps. And the Father notices all donations that come from where? Your heart, of course. If you don't wish to help with the poor, consider a donation for radio airtime. I know you enjoy and learn from our guests, so radio is not free, and donations keep us on the air. You can donate online or mail a check or money order or call and give a donation over the phone. And you can find all that information at prophecyhour.com. And now we're back with Marty Judah, if he hasn't left us yet.
No, I have not left.
Well, you know, I always throw that in because I've never gotten used to the fact of talking to somebody without seeing them. And so, you know, when we first started, we'd have phone drops and things like that. And so I'd talk to somebody and they wouldn't be there. And so it's kind of a anxiety thing. And anyway, and we've been doing radio since 2002. There's so much over here at your website. Let's go into with this. At your website, it says watch your service. Tell the folks about that.
Well, we have a broadcast on Friday evenings. There is a Torah teaching. It's called an Arab Shabbat Torah service. We do the basic blessings, a little bit of worship, and the weekly Torah portion. As some of your listeners may already know, the way the Torah is taught is there's a portion that is taught every Shabbat. And in fact, we're restarting the cycle this next Shabbat, tomorrow,
right,
is going to be the beginning of Bereshit, Genesis 1:1, and we start the cycle again. So we do that public teaching, and systematically each week. We have lots of people that come in and never have heard the Torah taught, and so we teach that. So that's that basic evening service, you know, that's done for that. That's the Friday night Arab Shabbat service.
Well, amen. And, brother, that's really important because I have a lot of people, you know, listen to the radio program and they decided, well, you know, they need to do something different than the normal Christian church. But then they're left in a community or something that has nothing like that. You know what I'm saying? And so
this is the ironic part. Throughout history, the believers, even of the Messiah, they have this systematic study. Paul told Timothy to give attention to the public readings, he said. Well, that's what that is. That's that Torah portion each week. It's been going on for centuries and millennia. And it's part of the base instruction. If a person goes through that every year, at the end of the year, he has all of the basics to formulate good, sound doctrine and foundational principles. Who is God? What about the Messiah? How do these prophecies work? What are the commandments? How do I keep the commandments? How do I obey the Lord and walk with the Lord? All of it is basically taught. Plus, they hear the ancient stories and find out what their true identity is. We're all sons and daughters of Abraham, some by adoption, some naturally. But that this is God's great plan of dealing with Abraham and his descendants, and that's the story of the whole earth and what's going on, looking for the Messiah to come and establish his kingdom.
Yes,
that's foundational.
Amen. Yeah, amen. It's the instructions. It has always amazed me how Christianity can say, well, you know, you don't need the Old Testament. That's just nuts. I don't know how you understand the New Testament, really, without reading the Old Testament, correct?
Well, to make a statement like that to a Christian believer today that you don't need the Old Testament is nothing short of foolish. And, in fact, Proverbs tells us that, you know, that if you discard this, you're behaving like a fool. And it's a lot of people jump into Christianity, you know, at the New Testament, read the Gospels, listen to the letters of Paul, think they've got it all. Well, everything that's in there is based on what was given to us by Moses and the prophets. And the reason why we have confusion and differences in doctrines and so forth in the New Testament, brethren, is because they don't have the same foundation. And they don't have the foundation that came from Moses and the prophets. I assure you, there is more prophecy about the Messiah's second coming in the Old Testament than there is in the New Testament. And that includes the book of Revelation. And
yeah,
a lot of people don't know that. And there's a lot of topics in there that involve us today, and people don't know about it. That's the tragedy. That people are believers and they only really pay attention to two-fifths of the Bible. You know, there's a reason why all that scripture was given to us. And if you listen to, I'm preaching here, if you listen to Paul, Paul when he said all scripture is profitable, you know, to us, so that the man of God is thoroughly prepared. He wasn't talking about the New Testament. It hadn't been written yet. He was talking about the Tanakh. He was talking about Moses and the prophets and those scriptures. And he was in his day saying that was what they needed in the day when Paul was walking around ministering. It was later that the New Testament was formulated, but the authoritative scriptures that helped the Messiah and his disciples and how we understand Christianity got started, it got all started based on the Old Testament scriptures. So how in the world did we perfect as the church and ignore all that stuff and forget all that? It's the mistake. It's a foolish, foolish mistake.
Yeah. Amen. If you took the Torah out of the New Testament and, you know, the quotes or principles, you would be left with a like a newspaper that somebody had ravaged for coupons, or actually worse. You know what I'm saying? They hold the newspaper to be full.
That is a perfect word picture. That is very good word picture, because the New Testament is laced with quotes from Moses and the prophets. It is the arguments and the idea that Yeshua is the Messiah is all based on the stuff that comes from Moses and the prophets. The whole idea of the Messiah and what he's to do is based on what Moses and the prophets taught. So if you strip that away and we don't need to know that, or we dismiss all of it as history, I'm just telling you that your faith is going to be inadequate and you're going to have a lot of difficulty. Can I pass on to you, when I've had the opportunity to minister to some church folks, the one sermon I always do for them? I always go in, and the first thing I ask them is, how many of you, raise your hand, are still hungry? You're still thirsty. In other words, you're pursuing the faith, you're trying to obey the Lord, you're in the church, but you're just not quite satisfied. You know there's something a little bit missing. And almost every hand will go up whenever I go into those assemblies. And so I asked him the question. Yeshua said that he was a piece of bread, that if you ate of him, you'd never be hungry again. He said he was a drink, that if you drank of him, that you'd never be thirsty again. So which is it? Did the Messiah kind of oversell himself? He's kind of good, but he's not that good. Or is it more likely you haven't eaten the bread and drank the cup yet? And I pose that question, you know, to church-going Christians. And I said, why is it you're not satisfied with it? By the way, I'm here testifying to you. I've eaten the bread, I've drank the cup, and I am satisfied. But do you know where the bread and the cup is at? And they're just mystified. And he said, you have to go to a Passover Seder. At a Passover Seder is where the Messiah held up the bread. And he said, this is the bread. This is my body. This is me. And he held up the cup and he said, this is me. This is my life. This is my blood. And they don't quite grasp what in the world did he really say and what does it mean and how do you eat that bread and how do you drink that cup. And those that testify to beginning to keep the feast of the Lord, beginning to keep those commandments, they testify of being satisfied with the Lord, and suddenly their faith expands and becomes very edifying to them.
Wow. That's fantastic. And no, they're not eating of him. You know, he is the Word made flesh. To me, that codifies all that. They're not eating the Word. If they're discounting all of that, then how can they?
Well, you know, in relationship, there's a big difference of where you form bonds with a person and they make promises to each other and you make agreements with each other versus you just got introduced to the guy and you know what his name is and you shook his hand once. I mean, you know, acknowledging God is not enough. You need to build a relationship. Well, to build that relationship, you need to start listening to what he has to say and listening to the promises that he makes to us, and then that's when you make the decision to believe him. And quite honestly, a lot of church folks, they can't quite make the connection. They acknowledge, they think it's the right thing, they want to be a part of the good things, of the faith, but they don't have the relationship with the Lord. Scariest verses in the Bible to me are in Matthew chapter 7 when the Messiah says, not everybody who calls me Lord, Lord will be entering the kingdom of heaven. And he proceeds to list off the common things that people, Christians, like to do. Do many miracles, maintain, do good works in his name. And he says, depart from me, ye that are lawless, I never knew you. And he's talking about there's no relationship.
Right.
There's no walking out the faith with him, listening to what he says and doing what he says. It's just, it's a lot of religious activity, phenomenology, but they don't know the Lord.
Yeah, amen. We're on the same page over that scripture. I use it. I go to the word, you know, it says iniquities, you know, get away from me, you workers of iniquities. And you break down the word iniquities, and it says being without law. And if you look up the word law, you find the root word Torah. So being without the instructions.
That's correct. They're Torahless. They don't even know what the commandments are. They don't even know what the commandments say. So they are, like, wholly ignorant of this, and they have no understanding of those things.
Yeah, amen. I'm going to bring you back to the Feast of Tabernacles. Just, you know, we've been talking about it over a couple of weeks, but I would like for you to explain to the people, in general, what is the season of our joy? What is the Feast of Tabernacles? We've got about 8 or 9 minutes.
Okay, well, the Feast of Tabernacles is the seventh of the Levitical feasts, you know, which started with Passover in the spring and ends with Tabernacles in the fall. And it's part of telling the great story of the Messiah. All the feasts of Israel lay out the great story of the Messiah. Well, this is the concluding piece. And the prophets tell us that when the Messiah does return and establish his kingdom, the first thing we're going to do is celebrate a Feast of Tabernacles in the kingdom with the Messiah. It'll be a great time of rejoicing. So it's a future thing that we're supposed to be looking forward to that will be in the kingdom. But there's an incredible message that comes with every one of the feasts. And in the case of the Feast of Tabernacles, it's stunning what the message is. It's actually presenting to us how God is going to deliver us in the last generation, when the days of indignation come, when the judgment comes upon the whole world, how are God's people going to be delivered? What in the world are we going to do? Where are we going to go? And the Feast of Tabernacles is a reminder of how the children of Israel, when they left Egypt, how they dwelled in huts and tabernacles and tents, and how God's promise to deliver them was fulfilled. Well, he tells us to go back and remember that because, quite honestly, there's another exodus getting ready to happen. There's a couple of key prophecies in Jeremiah. Emphatically says that the day is coming when we will use the word exodus and we will not be referring to ancient Egypt. We'll actually be referring to another event at the end of the age in which God's people are delivered from all the different nations where they're at on a journey to the promised land leading to the kingdom. And then this is an event that takes place at the end of the ages. A lot of Christians have been taught that we're going to get raptured, that before all the bad stuff happens, all these judgments come, why we'll get raptured out. You know, I wish it was so, but it just doesn't, it's not right. It doesn't line up with the prophecies at all. The event that they think is the rapture is, in fact, the rapture, but it's the resurrection of the saints right as the Lord returns. But it doesn't deal with it, and it's certainly not before the events of the Great Tribulation. So here we are, and let's say we're the last generation. How do we get through that 3.5-year Great Tribulation before we can ever get to that rapture, resurrection? How do we get through that? Well, the reason why the Lord gave us the Feast of Tabernacles was to teach us how to do it. And it literally comes down to the simplicity of you being able to gather up your family and your immediate belongings, and you go out and you set up a sukkah in the camp with other like-minded brethren, and the Lord leads us on a journey, just like he did our ancestors out of Egypt. And that's the methodology that God's going to use to protect us, because the danger that's coming is going to be in the major cities. And as Ezekiel says, we will escape into the wilderness of the peoples. And that means the countryside and away from all those cities. Well, how do we take care of ourselves while we're out there? What do we eat? What do we drink? How do we do it? Well, that's where the promises of the Lord come in, and that's something that's taught to us at the Feast of Tabernacles. By us going and enjoying this feast, every family, every person has to gather up a certain key number of items and go out and set your tent up, set up your campsite. And it's amazing what you learn when you go out to do that. You learn how to keep mama warm and dry. And if you don't keep mama warm and dry, then you suffer great tribulation. That's the basic lesson there. But you also learn what to bring and how to set up your camp and how to cooperate with other brethren. And that's going to be essential in the future for us if we're going to be able to see how the Lord delivers his people. There are four basic elements to survival. One of them is food. Another one is water. The third is shelter, and the fourth one is defense of the camp. God has promised us the water, he's promised us the food, and he's promised to defend us. The only thing he didn't promise us was how to set up a sukkah, how to set up your tabernacle, your shelter for you and your family when you're outside of your normal home. You got to know how to set up a sukkah. And that's what the children of Israel had to do when they left Egypt. And that's what we're going to have to do at the end as well. So here's this incredible feast that we enjoy, and here's this incredible lesson with it. So if we go and keep the feast, it actually trains us and prepares us for the coming of the end of the ages.
Yeah.
So that's Amen. The first cut.
Yeah. Amen. You know, We there's something that we experience, my wife and I. We have a lot of pressure, believe me. And of course, we look forward to Tabernacles every year, whether we get to go someplace or not. We try to have that time of peace, because we put everything into the mission church. But the point being is though, when we came back this time, Monty, it's like we're completely re-energized. We're just ready to go. It really was transforming back to you.
It is. It the Lord's in the camp. You know,
yeah.
Each year we see the evidence of the Spirit of God is with us in the midst of the camp. Just certain things happen. There's clues. Every once in a while, we get the sense of that he's right there with us as he said he would be. And that's energizing. And that's encouraging to our faith. For me and my staff, we have the most enjoyable time of the year is going out and doing that. When we come back, I will tell you, we have expended every bit of energy and adrenaline we possibly could. We love the shower that when we get back, and we love being able to sleep a good night's sleep. But it's because we've had such a good time, because we've enjoyed the fellowship, and we meet new friends and meet new folks, and so everything is like new each year.
Right.
It never gets old or monotonous.
Yeah, amen. We've only got a few minutes left. I want to point them to a couple other things on your website. What's this mobile app for Lion of the Lamb?
Well, we have an application that goes to Lion of the Lamb Ministries, and it has certain key things in there, like the Torah teaching schedule, other things they're taking on. You can watch a live broadcast from your phone. There's reference items. If you want to know how to do Kiddush, for example, you can go to that and use that. Just a variety of things that we think that the brethren are going to be interested in use throughout the year. And it also lists other elements of the ministry and how to contact them, how to contact us, and things like that. It's just like one of those apps for your phone, loads it up,
right.
And so you can contact Lion of the Lamb Ministry right off the map.
Yeah, and amen. I really like the one that for Tabernacles. I still got it in my phone. I ain't got rid of it yet.
Yeah, that's a new one. We made the Tabernacles app, so at any time in the camp, you can see the schedule, and you can read the safety rules and precautions. It gives a description of all the activities in the camp right off your phone. And so in the course, if you're going to Tabernacles for 8 days, pull up that little app, Tabernacles app, and you say, oh, here's the next workshop coming, or this is the next children's thing. And this whole schedule for the camp is right on the phone.
Yeah, amen. I liked how you had the camp divided up like old Israel. That was really cool.
Well, we had to come up with some kind of an address system, you know, to help people. The camp was sprawling, so we subdivided it and entitled certain regions and sectors of camp by things, places in Israel, and that way we had addresses for people so we'd know how to get security people and other people to the camp and give them directions on how to get there.
Yeah, my wife talked about the badge and that. She says, and if you get lost, all you got to do is point to your badge and tell somebody this is where you're at, and you can find it, you know. Although she never got lost, but, you know, there's that. Anyway, tell them where they can...
It's just a way of organizing and helping people to get around and have a good time.
Yeah, and that's what it was, a great time. Tell the people where they can find you, and I'm going to have to let you go, Ritter, and we'll talk again sometime.
Well, the best way to contact is through the main ministry address or the main number. If you want to call, that's 405-447-4429. And if you want to contact us by the Internet, you just go to lionlamb.net, and you can contact us there directly. That's the easiest way to get a hold of us.
Well, thank you for being on with me. I really appreciate you taking your time out to explain to my audience some things. And so you be blessed, brother, as I know that you are.
Well,
we'll talk again.
Well, brother, thank you for inviting me to your program. I'm honored to be called by you. And by the way, after this program's over, you and I need to talk some more on the phone. I want to explore how we might be more involved with your ministry. So we'll do that as a follow-up.
All right, all right. You be blessed. I got to let you go.
All right, you be blessed, too.
All right. Goodbye and shalom. Well, folks, that was Bonnie Judah, Lion and Lamb Ministries. As you can tell, my wife and I was really impressed with his work and what they're doing out there. And it's just great. Go over and check them out at their website. It's really easy to find. If you just go Lion and Lamb Ministries and Google it, it pops right up. Go over there and click on it. There's all kinds of things. And it's imperative that you, with all this trouble and things, you know, it's like we found a jewel in the middle of the desert of bad things. We've been to other tabernacle meetings. I have never been so impressed as I was by this one. I've never felt so rested as I did when we came back from this. We had a lot of fun. It was great. The people were wonderful. And it really did take my mind off of things and focus it on the thing that we're supposed to be focused on all the time, which is Yeshua HaMashiach. And we'll get to be with him in the kingdom. But the brethren around us, they reflected that. The peace in this camp reflected that. So you need to check, them out. And, anyway. But folks, remember, we need your help to support Messiah's Branch. We are a mission church and we're in a place that, you know, we're in one of the worst parts of town. And so we really, really do need your help. Because we don't get it from Wichita, and Christian churches sent us, you know, we don't keep their same holidays and all those things. You can donate online or mail a check or money order, and you can give a donation over the telephone, and you can find all that information at prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. And again, if you don't wish to help with the poor, consider a donation for radio airtime. It's not free, and donations keep us on the air. Remember, though, folks, there is only one true God. Who is he? He is your Father. He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for repented sins, and he rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. Remember, always, always, always be a blessing to others. How can you have the Holy Spirit in you and not be a blessing to others? I just don't understand it. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That is praying for Yeshua HaMashiach's return. Lord our God, Father King Universe, ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that, Father, you would please bless and keep them, and that your face would shine upon them, and that you would be gracious to them and give them peace like no one or nothing else can. Until next Thursday, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time from Messiah's Branch.